We begin. Speaking, you're good?
I couldn't make it.
Okay, we begin with the reminder of focusing on ourselves and investing in ourselves. That's why we're here now. That's why we're doing what we're doing now. And that's why we're here in yeshiva. I'll try and go from micro to as macro as I can. Right. The reason we're here right this moment is because we want to learn about ourselves. We want to grow. We want to invest in ourselves. The reason we're in yeshiva is because, like, I love when guys in yeshiva, and this is like a very common thing that people will say, like, you know, someone said that he's actually in shir now, and it's fine that he said this, but because I've heard this many times before, like, you know, I want to start my life, I want to start my life. So like when I leave yeshiva, I'm starting my life. Like that's like the way people think. You know, like let me get back. Not even. Let me get back. You know, like this shir is like, you know, it's for the guys who need a little chizik. And they need to talk about, really, literally, like the Masilta Sharm says in his Hakdama, you know, the people who are working on themselves, you know, we look at it like, okay, you know, these yeshivas are for the guys who really need the extra attention, they need the extra stuff. But the real life people are out there, right? So, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, the purpose of this world is really for us to understand ourselves and for us to work on ourselves and to know ourselves and to better ourselves. And that's why we're put here. So again, let me go from micro to macro, right? This year, for the next half hour, is for us to understand ourselves, to get to know ourselves, to be honest with ourselves, to know where we're headed, to get inspired, to get motivated, to get clarity. The reason we're in yeshiva is why? Is in order to get clarity. I don't know if you guys know, I don't want to embarrass Yona. I don't know if you guys met this good-looking, great guy over here. Hi, Yona. So Yona was in the, Avram, that's good. And that's even before I said what I said, right? That I'm going to, when he knows what I'm going to say, right? Yona is not 18 years old, right? He was in the real world. He already did it. So why would he leave, right? It's a company, at least hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know if it's a $1 billion company. Possibly. You don't even know. It's worth. It's a known company, a massive company that he was part of, and he left that. Why? Because he's upgrading his life. Why is he upgrading his life? Because instead of him investing his time and energy, and there's nothing wrong. We love people who work for a living, and we love everyone. We love every Jew. We love people in general who make a living and they work. But why did he come here? He came here to do, you know, to do even more, to invest in something so much greater than any amount of money is worth. And what happens is when we're in yeshiva, we're here to invest in ourselves. We're here to invest. That's why the Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to be in yeshiva. That's why the Yetzer Hara doesn't want you. So by the way, so I just want to give, I know we gave a big round of applause. I want to give another round of applause for a person who left his comfort in, and we love Lakewood. You guys know I'm a lover of Lakewood. He left the beauty of Lakewood, the Gashmias and Ruchnias of Lakewood, to come to the West Bank, to come to a big caravan and to caravans to invest in himself. He came to the real world. Thank you, Yona. So. And that. And by the way, that's just a drop. That's only a drop in the bucket of what he left. Meaning, you guys all know that it's not as simple as I just made it. Meaning, no one just, you know, he didn't get. It's not just he left a job. He left much more than that. And all of you did. Everyone who's here is here because you're invested in yourself, in your future, in your netzach, in your eternity, in your olam haba. That's where I was going to macro. Meaning right this moment, you're investing in yourself. Being in yeshiva, you're investing in yourself. The whole reason that you came down, each and every one of us came down to planet Earth. We have no business being on planet Earth. I'm just telling you. Nobody sitting in this base medrash has any business being on planet Earth. What do I mean by that? Your neshama and your essence could not care less. The coffee is not that good. The mattresses are not that comfortable. The food is not that good. Olam hazeh is not that good that it's worth it to leave ruchnias. To leave ruchnias. I could say, and this fits with what I'm going to say, it could say that anyone who is here Friday night and over Shabbos listening to Avram and Nissan and what do they call you? What's your nickname? What do they call you? Lenny, sorry. Lenny, right? To hear the Olam and Yoni. Where's Yoni go? Hear Yoni. That could be. Anyone who is Zoicha to sit, that we were sitting together Friday night till the wee hours of the morning. To the wee hours of the holiness of us sitting and singing together, that could be it was worth it to go from Olam Haba to the real world, to this world. And that's interesting. Why am I saying that works? Because Shabbos is what? Main Olam Haba. So that works. That works. Rabbi, I'm telling you. Mamish, le'ela, u'le'ela, u'le'ela. Le'ela, le'ela. And what does the Yetzer Hara want? What does the Yetzer Hara want? The Yetzer Hara wants one thing. The Yetzer Hara wants to distract us from our remembering that. And our Yetzer Hara wants to distract us from what it is that why did I come to this Alma Shefela? Why did I come to this silly physical world? And it distracts us with all of our different stuff that goes on. It distracts us. That's the major, and it makes sense, by the way, because we're in Ikvas of the Mashicha. We're at the end of time, and the distractions are more than there have ever been. When the Ramchal talks about distractions, I mean, in the 1700s, I mean, what distractions were there already?
The cow
mooing in the street. I don't know. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. Because I remember. No. That's different. That's different. I didn't say that. I didn't say Tivus. I'm not talking about Tivus. I'm talking about distractions.
Distraction from what?
Oh, distractions. Distractions. No. Oh, good. No, one second. Good. This is very good.
How do we differentiate?
I'm talking about one second, because a taiva is a taiva.
Right, so why wants it to
What did Paro, said tichbad ha'avoda. He didn't say taivas. Because we live in the Dora Mabel, right. So we all think that it's all about taivas. Tivus, Tivus. That's not our problem.
So enmeshed.
That's not our problem. Right, that's not our problem. Our problem isn't Tivus. Our problem is we're distracted. The reason people go to Tivus, the reason people feed into Tivus is because they don't have peace of... Now, there is something called Tivus. Yes, there is something called Tivus. But there's no reason that a person has to be fighting Tivus Yoyman Valaila. The reason a person's fighting Tivus Yoyman Valaila is because he doesn't have peace of mind to be able to walk down the street and go on a bus and look out the window and just sit and chill. Look at the cows. You got what I'm saying?
I feel like I've been told a lot that in order to not to fall into Tivus, I should distract myself.
What do you mean? First of all, I don't know. So good, explain. Good.
Meaning like, because if I get too, you know, grounded, then I would right away.
Who told you that? Did I tell you that?
You did not tell me that.
Right. So let's talk about what I told you. I can't talk for anybody else. But let's get focused over here. One second. Let's get focused. Right. The way it works. Oh wow. Hey, Phil, maybe you'll speak a little bit. You'll say, even though, yeah. You came to listen. Okay. So I was almost going to say that. I don't even know if the Olam, I don't even know anybody, if anybody knows anything. Some camera now, right? Okay. Like this. Let's just talk for a second. I heard this from one of my Rebbeim once, many years ago. And he told me, he said that if a person would sit on an island peacefully, I'm talking about us. I'm not talking about Stam somebody. I'm talking about us. If you would sit on an island alone, just you and yourself, for a full... Oh, we could talk to Nachi, will tell us about, if he remembers, about isolation. If you could sit alone without your phone, without anything, without other people for a month, you would totally, totally transform yourself, get in touch with yourself, and you'd be able to sort of, I don't want to say totally heal yourself and whatever, but you'd be a very long, far down the road of where you need to go. And you know why that is? The reason that is because all we need to do, all of our koach and all of our beauty is all, it's all inside of us. We are so beautiful. We are so powerful. We are so resourceful. We have so much power to us. We have ingenuity. I don't know what the word is. Anyone who knows what I'm saying, it sounds right. Something like that, right? We all have so much inside of us. And the biggest Yetzirah is not to focus on yourself and not to invest in yourself. That's the biggest, I would say. I'm going to say, as the Ramchal says, I'm quoting the Mesil Zisharim that he says in the beginning, the greatest distractor is don't invest in yourself. Don't spend time alone. Don't take a walk alone. Don't go ahead and sit by yourself and journal and write about yourself. People think Cheshbon HaNefesh means, I don't know if you guys know what Cheshbon HaNefesh is. People think that Cheshbon HaNefesh means, I did this wrong, I did that wrong. That's not Cheshbon HaNefesh. Cheshbon HaNefesh is taking the time to go ahead and invest in yourself. How was my morning? How was my afternoon? How was my evening? What did I do yesterday? What did I do last week? What am I doing? How am I living? Sort of for a person to really learn the ways of himself. Not to spend the time. That's why I love purity of speech. That's why I love not talking about anybody else. I love talking about myself and my wife when I'm with my wife, and my children when I'm with my children, and with you guys when I'm with you guys, because I just want as much as I can to invest my time and my energy into myself, into my cognitive, you guys know what cognitive is, into my thinking. And Reb Simcha Rab is going to give us a few minutes. He doesn't have such a long time now. He's going to give us a few minutes. I want Reb Simcha Rab to discuss I was thinking of the Binyamin principle. We're not getting into what the Binyamin principle, I haven't said that in a while. And I'll explain, and Simcha Rabbah is going to try and take over a little bit and do a little bit more. Many people think I'm either, right? I don't know if you guys know Tony Robbins, right? Tony Robbins, motivation, go. I can mention someone like Shuey, right? Shuey Leifer is like that Tony Robbins guy, right? Right? Let's go. Let's work out. Beast mode, you're either beast mode, motivated, don't care about your feelings, or you're a victim in therapy talking about all of your past and healing. So people look at it as either forget about your feelings and march through it, soldier through it, or I have so much anxiety and so much pain and so many things that I'm going through. Now, different stages in life, it might look like that. Sometimes you might want to be the guy who's marching through everything. And sometimes you're going to be the guy who's healing and dealing with all the healing. As if you notice, when I sent on the chat, I was medayik, and I wrote and heal. Today I wrote heal a little bit, right? Because motivation and encouragement, the Binyamin principle basically is teaching us, I think, that they both go together. Correct? Did I get it right? That they both go together. I'm going to introduce Reb Simcha Rabbah, Dr. Rabbi Reb Simcha Rabbah, who's a healer, and he's a Rebbe, and he's a person who is motivated and is a no baloney guy, but at the same time can understand what that means, that there's a time and a place for everything. And I'm saying that is the theme of today's shir, of today's talk. The theme of today's talk is you need both. You need both. You need the Tony Robbins, quote unquote, so to speak. You need the motivation, and you got to get out of your head to get out of your bed, right? And you got to work in more than you got to work out. But at the same time, you have to learn to heal. You have to learn to accept. You have to learn to feel your emotions, be in touch with your emotions. Reb Simcha Rabbah is going to tie this all together. Thank you. Did I give you a good platform? Was that good?
Thank you.
So you didn't even know what I'm talking about.
We're good.
Hey, you're good.
We're good.
So, how do we do this? Shua, how do we do this? Thank you. We transfer the mic. What? Yeah, they need it? Oh, you'll do another one. So I have to be careful if I... So take mine off.
You also have to get out of bed. Oh,
very good. Oh.
Yeah.
By the way, Yosef just made up a line that's with us, like... It might be on the next project we do, it'll be on the wall. It could be. That's how good of a line he just said. My line was, Baruch Hashem, me and Yaakov Deitch made this up, Rosh Hashanah 5-6 years ago. It's harder to get out of your head than to get out of your bed. So Yosef just said, and in order, I'm switching a little bit, in order to get out of your head, you got to get out of bed.
Ooh.
So they're both.
Oh, thanks.
So that's exactly.
Oh my God! It is. Wow.
Wow.
That's the integration.
That's the theme of this. That's the theme of this few minutes that we have together. You must learn to get out of your head, and getting out of your head is more difficult to get out of your bed. And you also gotta get out of bed to get out of your head.
I love that. I love that. Okay, so I know that I only have a few minutes, so I just want to calm my own parts down, because there's a part of me that's saying you have to give this like amazing like idea and you're so... So thank you. So that also calms that part down. because there's another part of me that's like, hey, like, try your best to give over, you know, some good ideas. So having said that, I'm going to give myself permission just for the first minute. I just want to thank Rabbi Fisher, because I literally, when we spoke a few minutes before the shiur today about me saying something, so I was like, I want to come to hear the Rav speak, and he was like, oh, you know what I'm going to say already. And I was literally like thinking about it, like, and I think I said it today, that I didn't grow from coming to Mesillas Sharim because of like the one-liners. Like, I think that the one-liners are great. I even have a one-liner that I had for a year or two that was create a good day. That was, and like, run after the tail, at least your own tail. These are like amazing, and it's like exciting. That was Menachem Goldberg. Yeah, so it's definitely a chelik of the fuel that helps us grow. But I think, and I think the difference between this and seminars, and again, I don't think that I can pinpoint one thing, and I'll just accredit, I'll say it publicly, I'm accrediting my entire lifestyle right now, my entire journey through IFS, and I'm going to be training in a training next week, and I'm already a senior PA for the IFS Institute, and it's all, yeah, and it's all, like, it's really, it's like, it's very crazy, and I think that it wasn't 7 years of coming, it's coming to the shir, and I realized that this is the pshat by Rabbi Akiva, that why didn't Hashem just like throw him like a wave, like just crash down like a mountain? That's not how it works. When a person gets dehydrated, you can't chug a 2-liter bottle of water. It's specifically, it's not that this is another way. The way is the little bit every day. And that's why I think that I personally have like an issue when I hear about seminars changing life. A seminar is a good experience. It's not going to change your life. Coming to the shir for 3 years will change your life. I don't think that anybody, I think it will be the opposite. You'll meet a guy that goes to a 4-day seminar. Every guy will tell you it was a great experience, but I don't think it changed my life. You meet a guy that came here for 3 years, I guarantee you, he'll be like, yeah, it was a decent experience, but I know that it changed my life. And you can ask your friends. So having said that, what I want to do is encourage everybody here to look around and see there's a very solid amount of people here, let's say, 35 or 45, and to encourage you to bring a friend. Because if each person here, I can't get 40 people to come to the shir. Nobody can. I don't think that's possible. But each person here could definitely try to inspire one guy and to give them a taste of what they're getting here. But I just want to like encourage, because it's something that I didn't do on purpose. I just came to the shir every day, and Baruch Hashem, it influenced me in amazing ways. And one of them is this IFS thing that I do. But okay, so having said that, so I took my first 2 minutes to do that. So that's the number one. Let's put that on the side. So what I want to say regarding the subject of integration is, I would really be cool if this week is Tiferes. Is it Tiferes this week? Man. All right. Okay, you know what? Not everything has to be Ashkacha Prat the story. But anyways, even though everything is Ashkacha Prat the story. Okay. But I do want to point out that something that definitely gets me, I have a part of me that really likes to emphasize the work. I like the 7 habits. I want to give a shout out to Yosef Mattel. I'm taking I'm taking another minute. I don't know if I'm going to get there. I'll take another minute. Yosef Mattel, Monday and Wednesday, 4:00 in the classroom. Sunday and Wednesday, thank you so much for correcting me. Sunday and Wednesday, if anybody needs a book, I'm happy. I'll order the Amazon to Rav Huttner or whatever the address of the yeshiva is. Anybody that wants to commit to coming to the class, I'm buying you a book. Like, don't worry. Like, whatever we can do to encourage it, okay? I'm a very 7 habits-oriented person. IFS threw me through the ringer, but I'm a very, that's where, like, I go to. The reason I went to IFS, oh my gosh, it was because it wasn't working with a lot of guys that I was speaking to. I was like, yo, I got the self-help books. Like, listen to the darn advice. Yeah, this, I was trying, yeah, with Dale Carnegie. I was trying to change yeshiva. And crazy, I did actually, just in a not with self-help books, with IFS. Okay, so getting back, so what I want to say is that, that's my, definitely my go-to personality, but what I think is, and this is part of what I want to bring out here, is that usually, and what I've noticed in myself and definitely the people around me, is that there's a fear that whatever you identify with, meaning if you're in the, and that's why I want to thank Yosef Mittal for the line, if you're in the world of, well, buddy, you got to get out of bed if you want to get out of your head. Like, you're not going to, like, it makes sense that you're depressed if you're watching Netflix all day. Like, go do something. If you're in that world, then there's usually a sense, like a fear, like, I don't want to give too much attention to the world of, like, you know, it's harder to get out of your head than it is to get out of bed, right? That's the other one, right? Usually you sense it, and you see it also with love and fear. If you talk to a guy who's all about, like, fear of Hashem, and you're emphasizing this and that, when you get to the love, it'll be like, he won't really connect to it. It'll be like a bidyevet thing. And the same thing, you talk to a guy about love of Hashem, and you start talking about, yeah, but fear is important also. There's usually a fear. There's usually like some sort of like distance between the other side. And what happens is that people get scared. But what I want people here to hear is that usually the reason why we're so strong on one side, why one part of us has to be so loud, is because there's actually another part of us that is screaming for the opposite. That means that oftentimes you'll find people that are extremely, like, you know, and I don't know, I'd love to, you know, interview Tony Robbins and find out, but extremely, like, go-getters, but, like, they yearn to, like, be able to, like, chill out. They yearn to just be able to, like take a break. And then you'll have the people that are in bed all day, and this, I think, maybe more people in our culture can connect to. They're in bed all day, like watching Netflix, and it's like, I wish I could do something accomplishing. Like, I wish I could walk away with my day and have something tangible, right? But the thing is that we're not willing to look at that other side. Why? Because we're scared that that side is going to take over. So what actually happens, and you see this also, like in marriage counseling and any type of relationship, it's that when you let go of that fear of the other side, that's when you're able to integrate the other side, so that instead of you living from a place of not understanding and a place of fear, you actually start living from a place of desire and a place of love. So like a very classic example, I mean, I already gave the example of the driver and the opposite with the person that's not, the person that feels like they want to, like, you know, focus on getting out of their head because it's harder to get out of your head than get out of bed. Another classic example is learning. That a person will feel like, oh, like I need to learn. I can't battle. When, again, everybody has like their own experiences, but when you have that strong part, usually if you have that conversation, the quality, the love in that learning is usually not going to be there, because they're coming from a place of fear. I'm not allowed to do any bittul Torah. Now, this is my own example. So, yeah, I'm so afraid of bittul Torah. I'm so afraid of not learning that while I'm learning, I'm having a hard time connecting to the learning because I'm so busy being scared of what will happen to me if I'm not learning. Okay? So now in my own experience, allowing myself to not be so scared of not learning, to develop myself in other areas, gave me permission. And again, because this part is saying, and just for my own story, it makes sense that my psyche created a part that was afraid of me not learning, because up until 18, 19 years old, I was literally living my entire life the opposite of that. So it made a lot of sense that my system created a very strong protector to make sure that I'm learning all the time. Because like I was just telling somebody in the lunchroom, like, I love experiences. Like, I love jet skiing, I love snowboarding, I love breath work, I love ketamine therapy, like anything that you can bring to me that will like get me, like, you know. So if I wasn't like so strict with the learning, that part of me is saying, you're going to go crazy. You're going to go to, you know, when I was living in Tzfat, oh my gosh, you're going to go to Tveri every day, you're going to go partying every night. You need to just, okay? So that's the fear. So now the other side of me that actually wants to connect to people and actually wants to develop myself in other areas, it can't get any air. So this part needs to be really strong. But because it's coming from a place of fear, this part is not allowing me to actually connect to my learning, because my learning has all of these layers on it trying to protect me from, you know, giving into the other side. So thank God, like I said, through the influence of the shir and getting more in touch with myself, I was able to show this learning part that I can be connected to this other part, to the part that wants to connect to people, to the part that wants to be develop myself in other areas without this part taking over. And then all of a sudden, this part, the part that needs me to learn all the time, sees, hey, wait a second, you're able to also develop yourself in other areas, and you're not losing your intensity for Torah. You're not losing your desire to learn. So now the barriers can come down a little bit. And then what ended up happening, and I remember this, and I think that I messaged you, I'm almost sure. I remember what I was learning. I was learning Nedarim, and I learned Nedarim when I was like 20 years old. That was the last time I learned it. And I remember sitting there in the Beis Medrash in Kiryat Sefer, and I was like, what is this feeling? Yeah, you remember? I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is a feeling of connecting to learning on a deeper level because I'm not so scared of not learning. I'm actually able to be more open to the learning. So that was the idea that I want to put out here, that when we talk about integrating and we talk about being open to really the opposite of your personality, that's really what we're saying, is that in the end of the day, you are going to become greater in whatever you are doing, not in quantity, but in quality. So with Hashem's help, we have to close up now. I really appreciate everybody listening here. And I'm telling you, it's like, it's such a gift to be able to give over the way today I got both. I was able to listen and take in. So integrating, you know, listening and giving over. And please WhatsApp me if you have any questions about this, because I love talking about this. And yeah, go to all these amazing shirim in yeshiva. Relationship shir from me at 9:30 tonight. Who's Seven Habits? I shall come on. All right, y'all get in there, bro. Proactive. And then there's Rabbi Nadav before me, I think, tonight. Anyways, there's a bunch of amazing shiurim. Get involved. And Rabbi Fisher, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You say that everyone can create.
Thanks, everybody. And break your rearview mirrors. And at least you're running after your...
heal.
And take the hook out of your heart. What is that one? Take the hook. No, we're trying. I couldn't remember. It's not about letting others off the hook. It's about taking the hook out of your heart.
Mm.
Okay, thank you.